Next on Westmoreland Saturday Morning, it's DeStefano's Den with sports guy TJ DeStefano here on 98.7 Westmoreland Gold, 1480 WCNS, and thisisgold.net. Good morning, sports fans. Welcome inside DeStefano's Den on Westmoreland Saturday Morning, brought to you by Stay in Latrobe. Why stay in a hotel when you can stay in Latrobe? 905 Mission Road in Latrobe. Call 412-601-0706. Email is stayinlatrobe@comcast.net, and stayinlatrobe.com is the website. We're on at 7:30 on 98.7 Westmoreland Gold, 1480 WCNS, 910 WXJX. This is gold.net and the iHeartRadio app. I'm your host, TJ DeStefano, and as always, we're talking sports. And today we're talking Seton Hill University baseball with head coach Mark Marisaldi about a great season that his team had. Coach, good morning. Thanks for coming on today.
TJ, good morning. Thank you for having me.
Always a pleasure to have you, Coach. And as I said there at the top, great season for your team. You guys went 23-4 in the PSAC, 39-8 overall. You guys in the PSAC tournament beat Gannon and Mercyhurst before losing to Bloomsburg in the championship. You guys went on to the NCAA Division II Atlantic Regional. You beat Bloomsburg and Millersville to advance to the Division II World Series in Cary, North Carolina. And in the World Series, you guys won the first game against Southern New Hampshire, then lost to Angelo State and Wingate. So overall, just talk about your season.
The way you explain it, it certainly makes it sound like a marathon. And, you know, we played almost 4 weeks longer than most other teams in our league, and 4 weeks longer than we have the last few years, and that's a good thing. Our ultimate goal every single year is to make it to the Division II World Series in Cary. It's been 7 years since we achieved that, so it was really nice to get back to Cary. It was an unbelievable experience down there. A little bit disappointing. We certainly didn't play in Cary the way we had played most of the season, but as you described, you know, our entire season, our PSAC record and the incredible run that we made in the postseason, you know, it's really important that we continue to look back at the whole entire body of work from this season. Of course, going to the World Series, you know, there was only one team that finished the season happy, and there were seven of us that went home, you know, dissatisfied. But in no way does that take anything away from just honestly, a historic season that we had. Our record of 39-8. I don't think that win percentage has ever been topped. And we did it overcoming a lot of obstacles along the way. For any sports team this spring, you know, COVID posed so many challenges, including for our team. You know, just an incredible year. I'm so proud of our players, our university. It's been really fun.
You mentioned the COVID. Now, I know you guys got off to a great start this season, and then COVID hit, and you guys had to shut down for a little while. So how was the team able to battle through that and then, you know, come right back and pick right up where you left off before the shutdown happened?
Well, we had to navigate a lot of things this year that none of us have ever experienced before. There's really no playbook on, you know, what to do when half your team gets COVID.
Yeah.
So I was just really proud of the resilience, the patience, and the kind of, you know, so what, there's nothing we can do about this attitude of our players. We did start the season 12-0. We knew at that point that we had a great team and we were anxious to accomplish, you know, some really special things. And then we had 18 kids test positive for COVID in like a 10-day span. And then another 14 had to be quarantined as contacts. So we literally had 32 kids in quarantine or isolation. And what that did is it shut down our season for 20 days.
Wow.
So despite getting off to a 12-0 start, we came to a screeching halt. That pause is challenging in and of itself, but having to make up all the missed games was even tougher. In the PSAC, we play a four-game series every weekend, and we had to cancel two whole series with that shutdown, and we had to make those games up during the week. So when we came back, which was about maybe mid-April from that COVID shutdown, we were playing about 8 games a week. And
that's crazy.
You could imagine. Yeah, you can imagine the toll that takes on your pitching.
Yeah.
But also, you know, keeping in mind that these kids are just coming off of, you know, a virus. Mm-hmm. And a lot of our kids were indeed sick. So we jumped right back into it. We put together a few more really good winning streaks and just persevered through all that to finish in first place in the PSAC West.
Now, I know you guys played this season for McLean Mond. He was killed in a car accident back in February of 2020. So just talk a little bit about that.
Well, that's where I think this all starts for us. What we achieved this spring really goes back to the experience, the loss that our kids suffered, you know, losing a teammate, a friend, and then COVID hitting right after that. These kids on this team have been through so much. What happened last year with McLean's passing and the season being canceled and all of us being stuck at home for 6 months, and mm-hmm. then, you know, the COVID scare that hit us in the middle of season. These kids kind of made their mind up from the beginning of this that this season was going to be played for McLean. And that just created a real purpose that our kids could rally around. It's amazing how selfless they became and just their perspective on life. You know, when we strike out, we make an error. Even, you know, when we lost the game, nothing was going to faze them. They had been through so much adversity that I feel like it gave him a whole new perspective on baseball and life. So what we achieved is not a surprise. We were a very talented team, but knowing who we were playing for, it was just a really strong purpose that united our team and got us to where we were.
Now I want to talk about a couple other special things that happened this year. First, you got your 600th career win on May 7th, and that was in a sweep of UPJ. And it was also the 600th win in the history of Seton Hill baseball. You're the only head coach of that program. So how special was it for these two things to happen for the program?
Well, it's most certainly for the program. I told people I am just the only person lucky enough to be around to witness all 600 of those wins. But there's many, many people that had a hand in that. You know, I stressed to our team when we won that 600th that we were kind of standing on the shoulders of the people who came before us. The foundation was laid back in 2003. By all the kids that came to Seton Hill and just kind of took a chance on the baseball program when we had nothing to offer. So to see where it's at now, you know, 17 seasons later with 600 wins, that's just a huge testament to all of the alumni that come through. And that was a celebration for, you know, we have about 130 alumni. That was a celebration for all of us.
Yeah, awesome accomplishment. Also, you were named the Coach of the Year in the Atlantic Region by the National Collegiate Baseball Writers Association, and also graduate student outfielder Tommy Pellis from Greensburg Central Catholic was named its Player of the Year. So two other special honors there.
Yeah, I wish they would rename that Coach of the Year award to Coaching Staff of the Year, because that's really what it is. You know, I'm the one who kind of has to make a lot of decisions, but the everyday player development that takes place is our assistant coaches, Tyler Sullivan and Tim Cronin. Like the product that you see on the field, you know, the production of Tom Pellis and many other players is because the care level and the instruction that our assistant coaches provide every single day. So, they deserve the recognition. And Tommy in particular, just a great story, a local kid who, you know, had gone to a Division I school, wasn't a good right fit, and had been with us for 3 years. And what he accomplished at Seton Hill was amazing. He had a tremendous year offensively that really carried our team all the way to the World Series.
Now, I want to go through stages here. We talked a little bit about the overall season. I want to start with the PSAC tournament. Again, you beat Gannon, then you beat Mercyhurst twice. Then you open with a win in Game 1 against Bloomsburg of the championship, but dropped the last two. So just take us what happened in the PSAC tournament.
Well, first of all, you know, the challenges that COVID presented to all of us actually presented opportunities as well. Our PSAC tournament usually takes place over the course of 4 days, 8 teams all at one site. We weren't able to do that this year because of some COVID testing restrictions. So this was the first time that I'm aware of in the PSAC, and it's the first time in since 2006, so 15 years that we were able to host postseason games on campus at Seton Hill. The atmosphere was absolutely incredible. There was people everywhere, and just the intensity of those games, knowing that if you lose, your season could be over. So that in itself was so exciting for our campus, for our school, and for our players to host postseason baseball. That game against Gannon, although it looked like we kind of rolled over them 6-0, that was a scary game for us because it was a single elimination. That was a one-game play-in. If you wanted to stay in the tournament, you had to win that. And we were facing one of the pitchers. At that time, we only had four losses on the year. We were facing one of the pitchers that had beaten us. So we knew anything could happen in a one-game do or die, especially against a really good pitcher. But we countered him with our own ace, Jared Kolar, who was absolutely dominant. He gave us a great start. We had some good timely hitting and ended up shutting Gannon out 6-0. So we were able to survive in advance. And then we welcomed our huge rival, Mercyhurst, to campus, who, you know, probably had the best pitching staff in our league. And we were really ramped up for that series. It was one of those things that every single pitch you could feel just the tension hanging in the balance. And once again, we had some really good pitching, in particular out of our bullpen against Mercyhurst. Had some good innings from Nash Bryant. I think he had two saves in those two wins. A great outing by Peyton Reisman out of the bullpen. And just some huge home runs highlighted by local guy Jack Oberdorf hit a three-run homer in the last inning of that second game to really propel us to a sweep of Mercyhurst. So we were hot. We were rolling, and we had the opportunity to host the PSAC Championship. What an unbelievable event that was. You know, Bloomsburg came in, and we took care of them game one. And like you mentioned, we proceeded to drop the next two games, which was so disappointing. The table was really set for us to, you know, achieve a really historic thing by winning our third PSAC championship in just 5 years right on our own field. But, you know, my take on those games, the two losses to Bloomsburg and the PSAC championship is really something that occurs rarely in baseball, but it certainly happens where one team plays their best and the other team plays their worst at the same time. Bloomsburg was absolutely unstoppable. They got two outstanding pitching performances. I think they probably hit about seven home runs against us in that doubleheader.
Wow.
And our offense went completely cold. So we had the best pitching staff in the league, arguably the best offense in the league, and neither of them came through when we needed to. So that was disappointing. We had an opportunity that we didn't capitalize on, but I think the maturity that our team had, you know, their outlook on that was, okay, so what? This is just one step, one box we're not able to check, but fortunately we earned an at-large bid to the NCAA tournament. I was really proud of our guys, disappointed we didn't win the PSAC championship, but I knew that there were bigger things still ahead of us.
And we're talking with Seton Hill University baseball coach Mark Marisaldi on DeStefano's Den, brought to you by Stan Latrobe on 98.7 Westmoreland Gold, 1480 WCNS, this is gold.net, and the iHeartRadio app. Okay, Coach, now the Atlantic Regional, which you opened up with a big win over Bloomsburg, 15-3, so you got a little revenge there. Then you beat Millersville twice to advance to the World Series as the second seed you got in the World Series. So just talk about your performance in the regional.
Well, baseball is a funny game, you know. A team can kick our butt twice for a championship, and 5 days later, we turned the tables completely in the other direction. And really, I think there was a little bit of a chip on our shoulder. Those losses from a few days earlier were still stinging, and we wanted to come out and send a message, you know, to Bloomsburg that, you know, you may have gotten us in the PSAC, but, you know, this regional is something we're going to try to go after. So we really took it to them game one. We got great starting pitching again from Kolar. and our offense really responded. I think we put up like 18 runs that first game. You know, and then we faced off with probably the next best team in the whole region, Millersville. They're a really complete club. They play defense. They're a dynamic offense and have really good starting pitching. And those were just two outstanding baseball games. But that game two of that regional against Millersville is such a critical game because you do not want to fall into that loser's bracket. So, you know, our guys kind of knew what was at stake and how important it was for us to win and advance to the regional championship. We took care of business there. And I do think that we had the upper hand going into that championship because Millersville had to kind of battle their way back from the loser's bracket. But I could just sense it with our team. They knew they had missed an opportunity a week later to dogpile, and they were never going to let this one slip by. You know, we again had some timely hitting from some guys. I think in both of those Millersville games, we got down early. But the confidence and belief that our guys had, there was no panic. We knew that as long as we continued to come to the plate, we were going to find a way to score some runs. And once again, in that regional, our bullpen was lights out. I thought, you know, our starting pitching was good all year, but what separated us from most other teams in our region was our bullpen guys, in particular Nash Bryan, Peyton Reisman, and Caden Wood. They were just far and away better than everybody else's bullpen. And once you get into postseason baseball and nine-inning games, everyone's got good starting pitching, but the best team's got bullpens, and I think that really helped us.
And then it was on to the World Series in Cary, North Carolina, as you mentioned earlier, second appearance for the program. The last was in 2014. Before you talk a little bit about the World Series, just first, talk about what it's like to just make it there.
Well, it's, you know, people know Omaha. That's what we see on TV. Mm-hmm. You know, Division I baseball is alive and well and thriving right now, and the whole country gets to see it. Cary is the Omaha of Division II. It's a special place. The USA Baseball National Training Complex is, from what I've seen and where I've been, one of the most beautiful baseball places in the entire country. So it's a dream. It's a goal every year to get there to Cary, but only 8 out of 275 teams get there. So just getting there is an accomplishment. However, the message that we really sent to our team is that we can't just be content with getting there. I think perhaps we made that mistake back in 2014, the first time we got to Cary. We didn't play very well. I think we kind of got caught up in just being there and kind of taking in the sights and sounds. But I knew how talented our team was this year that we had a legitimate shot at winning it. And I told our guys, once you get down there, once you see all the other teams play, you'll realize right away we belong there and we have a legitimate shot. And I think our guys did realize that. We were the number two seed for a reason in the World Series, mm-hmm. and that's because we were the second best team in the country still left at that time. So they do an unbelievable job just administering the tournament. The setup is great where you only play every other day. The kids are spoiled. The teams are spoiled. The entire stadium is decked out. It's just a fun really memorable atmosphere for our players and our fans. So we were definitely excited to go. We actually got down there a day early. I thought it would be best for us to get out of Greensburg, get down to Cary and get settled in. And we were able to actually go over to the University of North Carolina a couple of days early and have a practice at their facility, which was really cool. We faced a really tough opponent in game one. Southern New Hampshire was probably the best pitching that we had faced, definitely in Cary and perhaps maybe all season long. We had a really gritty 4-3 victory against those guys in the first game. We swung the bats pretty well. It was good to see our consistent play from the regional carry over to the World Series. And we got a good start from Jared Kolar. But we had to take him out a little bit early because of an injury. And once again, our bullpen was really solid and allowed us to score a run late to take that 4-3 lead. And and stay in the winner's bracket. That was kind of short-lived. If I had to kind of sum it up, I feel like our last two games in Cary in the World Series were a little bit similar to our last two games in the PSAC Championship against Bloomsburg. Mm-hmm. Everybody slumps, every team slumps, every individual slumps, you know, throughout the course of a long baseball season. The tough part of that is you don't get to choose when the slumps happen.
Yep.
They just happen, and you got to figure it out on the fly. And unfortunately for us, we had some very short slumps, and not many of them, but when they hit, they kind of hit at the wrong times. Mm-hmm. And we didn't swing the bats very well at all the last two games, and eventually lost and got knocked out to the eventual national champion, Wingate. But, again, a very disappointing end to the season, because I truly believe we had a legitimate shot and the pitching depth to make it to the championship. But our body of work throughout the season, considering what our guys went through, how long the postseason was, I'm just so proud of our guys. I think our postseason opener against Gannon, I don't remember the exact date, but it was exactly 4 weeks long from our first PSAC game until our last World Series game. That's a long time to be in that postseason baseball mode, and especially for a group of kids who there was no postseason last year. There wasn't even a full season. So there was really not a whole lot to prepare us for that run that we made. And it's kind of disappointing we came up short, but still incredible, historic season for the Sea Eagle Griffins.
Yeah, I agree. Now, I have to talk to you about Derek Orndorff, because I've listened to games and watched games, and some of the things he's done this year. He made ESPN SportsCenter's top 10 plays twice. One was number four. That was back in March in a game against IUP, and then he was the number sixth play for your June 8th game against Angelo State in the World Series. So just talk about Derek and what he's done for this program.
So kids dream of being on SportsCenter.
Yes.
Derek got on twice, and the reality is he probably could have been on about 15 times.
You're right.
This year, based on
yep.
some of the plays he made. He's a once-in-a-career type of kid that you get to coach. And what I mean by that is his work ethic is elite, and his talent is elite. And then on top of that, like, he is an outstanding human being. He does everything right. He's as blue collar as they come. And the success that he had this year was so great to see, because he's earned it more than anybody else. His college career didn't get off to the start he wanted. He went to Penn State, you know, didn't play at all for 2 years, and made that difficult decision to transfer to Seton Hill. And I think it was without a doubt the best fit for him. And a really great fit for us. We were kind of able to put Derek in a situation where he could play, can contribute, and achieve, you know, all of his dreams to be able to play in a World Series. So he's a very talented player, a kid who is just so committed to his team, was a great leader. He did a lot of great things for us offensively, but defensively, I mean, I can't remember seeing anybody in my entire career that changed games the way he did on defense.
As we get ready to wind down here, Coach, in the last 2 or 3 minutes, now we've been talking about a historic year for the program. As we look ahead to next year, first, I mean, how many guys are you going to lose and how many return?
Well, we lose. This is the biggest senior class that we've ever had. We'll have 18 guys graduating and moving on this year.
Okay.
So that's big.
That is.
We have 18 guys recruited to come in, mostly freshmen, pretty much all freshmen to take those guys' place. So that leaves us about 33 guys coming back. There's a decent nucleus that we return. Our whole infield is back, which is exciting.
That's good.
Jack Oberdorf at third, Owen Sable at short, Isaiah DeAndreth at second, and Tanner Frelick at first base. We do lose our top two pitchers, Ben Vecini and Jared Kolar. And we also lose our whole outfield, is a good part of our offense. But we have some great young pitchers coming back. I think our pitching staff should be the strength of our team next year. We have talent and depth. But we will definitely look a lot different on offense and on defense. We're going to have to find some new bats and some fresh faces to continue this winning tradition.
So come off season, there'll be a lot of competition for places and playing time, I assume.
There most certainly were. There will be. We have a lot of talented players coming in. And we have a lot of returning players who, you know, really didn't play a whole lot this year. They were stuck behind those 18 seniors. So there'll be a lot of great internal competition that we're looking forward to watching in the fall.
And happy with your numbers roster-wise?
Yeah, we're staying pretty consistent. You know, college athletics in general, and more specifically college baseball, is turned upside down right now with everyone having a fifth year and the transfer portal. And not to go too far into it, but it's basically like free agency now in college. Mm-hmm. So rosters are uncertain. They're crazy. There's a lot of fluctuation, but we've been able to stay pretty consistent. A lot of our kids, are not using that fifth year at Seton Hill. So they're able to kind of stay on track, graduate in 4 years, and either move on to graduate school or a job. So we've stayed consistent with whatever we graduate, we replace, which is keeping our roster rate around 50.
And how is recruiting going? Because I know it's probably, I don't know if it's been any different. There's been more challenges with the whole COVID.
There have been, and we've been able to really navigate it well. Coach Cronin is really our recruiting coordinator. He's done an amazing job probably in the last 12 months. We have an awesome recruiting class coming in. We had a great recruiting. We did a great job recruiting this spring. All the home games that we played, which I think was about 25, we probably had upwards of 30 recruits on campus for our game days, gave us a really good head start. But I'll tell you what, the best recruiting tool is going to the World Series.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, so that certainly helps. But we did get a late start this summer. So, again, our season went a month longer than normal. So we're playing a little bit of catch-up right now, but fortunately we got a really good head start in the spring.
Well, that's good to hear. Well, Coach, thanks as always for the time. Congratulations on a great season and continued success in the future with the Seton Hill baseball program.
TJ, thank you. It's always a pleasure speaking with you, and a privilege. And I'm very thankful for the opportunity to kind of share our story of the 2021 Seton Hill baseball team.
Always welcome, Coach. Likewise. And we'll do it again soon here, I hope.
Thank you.
Anytime. And that was Seton Hill University baseball coach Mark Marisaldi. That does it for DeStefano's Den this Saturday morning, brought to you by Stay in Latrobe. Why stay in a hotel when you can stay in Latrobe? 905 Mission Road in Latrobe. Call 412-601-0706. Email stayinlatrobe@comcast.net and www.stayinlatrobe.com. You can like DeStefano's Den on Facebook and follow me on Twitter at SportsGuy1480. I'm your host, TJ DeStefano. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next Saturday here on Westmoreland Saturday Morning.